And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, and a beard here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in Obergard Heber area in northeastern Arizona at June's Cafe. We're doing a remote here in the parking lot of the cafe because we love us some Tracy Packer.
Aw, thanks, Ernie.
We love on us some Tracy Packer. Now, the reason is when we had Jackalope up near here in the forest, out in the middle of the forest, Bob and I went out there yesterday, got some drone footage of it, you know, make sure it was in, you know, good shape and, you know, it was not like transmissions, you know, anywhere or something. And it looked great, you know. Of course, it's, you know, winter, but it wasn't snow. And it'd be nice to go up there in the snow sometime, just see what it looks like. We might not be able to get out, but, I mean, you know, we go in there. We did some drone footage. We'll be showing that, you know, at a later time. And check it out. We came back here, got all set up for this morning, and it's le cold. This morning it was like, I don't know, 16 degrees or something. I mean, yeah. You know, this is like winter. So, but in the day it warmed up to, you know, something. I mean, it was nice. So you maybe put on a sweater or something, be all right. Now, what happened, we started hearing from people coming into Jackalope saying, oh, you got to go to this cafe right down, you know, when you hit the main road. You go down and tell Ernie can't hear him on the live stream. Okay, it's streaming but no sound. Well, then you got to listen to the LRN feed and then you get to see the pictures. Wow. You know, it's always something. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and we'll work on... because I can see it over here on the break. All right, we'll do that later. So as long as it's going out on the stream, let me go ahead and pull that up again. One, there you go. One, ooh. All right, now you can hear me. Now what we're going to go ahead and do is get to know June again. This will be the third time. Now we talked to her before, and what happened was we had a representative of somebody in the state of Arizona that was saying, no, we're not going to mandate masks. Enter at your own risk. Employees are mask free. You know, we don't have masks on, so if you don't like it, don't go here. Well, of course, you got the Karens out there going, they're not wearing masks. Well, then they send out the county guys, and it's a represent, because you're not in a municipal jurisdiction. You're not in a city itself. You're county, right?
Correct. We're in Navajo County.
Okay, in Navajo County. So the people that are visiting you are the county health department guys.
Yes.
And they represent the county, or are they directed by the state? You know, what is it? They're getting their orders from, he's enthusiastic to make you comply, because who's telling them?
You know, I'm pretty sure it's just county. Their mandates probably come from the state, but the county has their own mandates also.
Okay, so they're like, they kind of sort of want to make you, they just want to let you know, I did my job and told you, you know, I checked you off in my little box here on my form, I got my clipboard, and then, you know, peace out and I'm gone. Or are they citing you, or are you getting, you know, fines, or are they sending badges with guns? I mean, how are they doing it?
No, we're not getting cited. They have to come, every time they get a complaint, they have to come and inspect your business, see what you're doing, and make sure you're as complying as you can.
You know, your left, your ear thing is reversed.
Uh-oh.
There you go. Oh, that's comfortable. I go, that looks weird. The what we're going to go ahead and do is get a quick summary of what happened. That we talked to you And then we got a follow-up. It's kind of been kind of the same thing. But now, as it's the third time that we've talked to you, and it's been how long? Did it start last? Yeah. No, it's just been since August.
Yeah.
So this is the third time since August. And in that time, I'm seeing from the last time Bob and I were here, the compliance level, certainly after working hours. You go 6, 7 o'clock at night to some store, the general store, the store, nobody's wearing masks. The employees aren't wearing them. The people aren't wearing them. We went to the general store down here, and the only people out of probably 6, 7, 8 people that were wearing masks were two Hispanic guys that were speaking Spanish, and they go, I don't know, man. I'm just leaving mine on because, you know, God knows what will happen, you know. But has it been that way?
Yeah.
Whole city?
I think everybody's just on COVID burnout, honestly. I mean, it's gone on so long that as time has gone by, everybody's just seeing that enough already.
Well, enough what? Enough mask, enough this whole damn thing, enough, you know, because we've had the election.
Yeah.
So the election, you know, what was the rhetoric from politicians going into the election? We're going to make you wear a mask. I'm Joe Biden, and we're going to go 100 days or something.
That's exactly what he's been saying.
No, I know, but I mean, the local politicians here, are they taking on that rhetoric?
Oh, yeah, no. No way. Our locals are done with this. Enough already. The whole point of what they were supposed to be doing was to give the hospitals time to prepare. 30 days, in and out, we're done. Well, you take an inch, they take a mile. And they have took 20 miles.
They've taken parsecs.
Seriously.
Okay, so now we've had the election. You got new elected officials, some new ones, same ones, what?
No, we have a couple new ones, two or three new ones, but
did they run on freedom, though?
Yes, they ran on freedom.
So they thought that was what's going to get them, right?
Yep.
Did they do well? See, I don't trust the numbers they come up with and the computers and all that crap anyway. You know me, man. I just I don't care what they... But the people that did get elected at the county level, how many supervisors were up out of 5?
Yeah, I think it was 4 or 5.
Okay,
so I only know the one. And
okay, so it's at least more than one, or is it a couple? Usually it's like, you know, 2, 3, or so. It's like 2. Yeah. What? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Come in. The we got some. Well, I guess they'll get in one of these days. We'll go ahead and see if we can get the stream audio going, so you guys are all good with that. But at least we got the network and the pictures. So we'll be back with Tracy Packer at June's Cafe. We'll get an update on what is happening. The Rebellion's building. And we just want to make sure you guys see it first. We'll be right back.
Nice.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Vidin' the stinking roads. You know, this is all roads lead to freedom, hopefully. You know, and that's up here in Obergard at June's Cafe. You know, there's a gentleman that is an activist and high up in the Republican Party that saw that we were doing this, and he sent me an email last night, and he goes, yeah, I go to June's Cafe all the time. A guy named Roy Miller, you know, he's involved in a lot of stuff. So he's like going, yeah, I go up there. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, they're good. One more reason to go.
Nice.
So you guys come up here, you're going in the snow and everything. As you're going, what would be the directions? It's before you get into Heber, right? It's before you're up on the... what do you call this? It's 260 out here, right?
Yeah, we're right at the junction of 260 and 277.
260, 277. Yeah, right. This big that goes up north to, I-40. You know, you go up there, and this is the place. It's been here for decades.
Yeah.
You know, this is a long time. You're like third generation been up in this area, right?
Yep.
So it's a family thing, it's a community thing, everybody knows Tracy. And now sure as heck know June's Cafe before Tracy took it. And so this is, you know, a good symbol. And a lot of times the bad guys back in, you know, Washington or at the state capitol, whatever, they don't understand. You know, sooner or later, you know, somebody didn't go to the back of the bus and then they got to contend with Tracy. So we're here to help them. We saw someone that took it serious in the beginning. You know, you take a couple of weeks, you take a month, we'll take a break. We'll give the hospitals a chance to make sure there's not dead bodies piled up like cordwood. You know, we'll go ahead and, you know, see what we can do. But the thing is, then you don't see them. And it's like, oh, this guy, he's really, really sick. And I go, yeah, I've really, really had the flu too. So this has been, it's just not panning out for him. But man, have they milked it.
Yep.
This has been, how's the businesses here in your community? Are they going out?
You know, we haven't lost anybody yet, but things have been slow because there's a lot of people and the restrictions that they did, you know, it's hurt businesses around town. It has.
You know, I'm wondering how they survive. Are they just whatever assets they had, all their, see, it's like they, them, those that won't leave us alone. You know, they go, everybody all in. You got some more money saved up somewhere? Well, we need to get that on the table. You know, throw that in, mortgage your house, you know, go into your savings, and that's ours now, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see it. It's like they want to go after the middle class. They want to go after the business owners, the entrepreneurs. So that's where their resistance is. Certainly, you know, conservatives are not, you know, taking welfare, you know. And so what they do is they say, we need to go after those that fend for themselves, take care of themselves, part of their community. All the stuff they talk about they want, not really. You know, not really. You know, so they go after you. And have you guys banded together at all?
You know, several of us have. I mean, we've been lucky because we live in a town that's basically conservative, you know. And this community has done the best that they can to try and spread, you know, their help along. And keep us all going, but it's a small population, and all the traveling stopped. And
heavy tourism here.
Yeah,
in the winter it's skiing, in the summer it's not hot.
Yeah, seriously, and I mean everything just came to a halt because if you're in the city, you know things are so much dire down there, and the restrictions are so much more strict.
Okay, now define that strict by enforcement. Or strictly, I'm sure you got the same rules, you guys just don't care.
Yeah. Well, one of my customers, their family had a bar in Scottsdale, and their fines were astronomical because they didn't make their people wear the masks, and they got shut down. So they're more enforcing down there, I think, than they've been up here.
Well, you know, are they threatening you? You know, shut you down?
They haven't threatened us yet.
And what are they threatened with? This is one thing. You know, Bob and I are hardcore anarchist libertarians of you're still voting. I mean, after all, we know I run for office a lot, you know, but I already know better about this election stuff, you know. So the thing is I'm going, the change is not going to come. It'll be philosophical, which may be political, but it's not going to come from, you know, a piece of paper. It's going to come from just the way the people act and defend their own, because nobody else is going to do it. The purpose of God, that's why this show is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The Declaration of Independence says the only purpose of government is defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. It's your right, your duty. Boom, sign me up. When they come in the government, the whole purpose of them is so you don't get locked in your house, so you can open a business. So you can operate without, you know, as long as you don't violate someone else's life, liberty, property, their pursuit of happiness. They're there to leave you alone. That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. So you guys look at this and you go, you know, we're going to have to what?
I think we're going to have to stand up for ourselves. I mean, the only way they can control you is if you let them control you. If you say no more, then it's you saying no more. And sooner or later, people have got to stand up and say no more, enough.
Okay, who are you standing up against?
You're standing up against government. You're standing up against the people that think they have the right to take you over.
This, and they use shiny badges and guns to do
yes,
that.
Yes, they do.
FYI. So, you know, I'm going, okay, this has become a realization that we've been waiting on. You know, we've been, yeah, we're out, you know, we run, and we got good slogans, and we're going to look, man, I'm telling you, this beast that you're supporting is going to turn around and bite you in the butt. The more you delegate power to them, the more you allow them to have. The fact that you even have regulation, licenses, permits, that's how they're going to get you.
Yep.
They're going to say, the permission for you to operate a business, we can take that away. Why would you take it away? Because, I don't know, because we want to. Mm-hmm. Because it serves our purpose, because we're going to threaten and cajole and whatever we're going to do. So what do you think the goal is? Why are they doing this? Because they love you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's it.
I think that the class distinction is so drastic that anybody that's in the middle that believes in family values and taking care of yourself, they're going to rush that over you because either you're dependent or you're controlling it. There's not going to be any middle left. There's no middle ground in this.
Okay, why? I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen this. It's great to see this realization come into small communities, to businesses. I see it, and I see the awareness. But I'm wondering, you know, why do you think they're doing it? What's their purpose?
Power. Control.
Yeah.
Money.
For what?
Money, man.
Yeah, they got money, power, control. They don't have enough already?
Nope.
I mean, what, was it spread it out to get more insulation for the bad guys at top? I mean, you know what? You see, we keep asking. Nobody ever asks why anymore.
No.
As a talk show host, I'm going, that's when I first started in 03. I'm just going, you know, nobody asks why. I just keep asking. I go, well, why? And finally, you know, it's because we can, you know, and you're letting us. You know, you got to stop letting them. Well, up here in Eber-Obergard area, and man, one of the bright spots, June's Cafe, Tracy Packer, saying, I think we'll decline. Well, there's a lot of other people doing it too. And that's why we wanted to come and highlight and help and see what we can do. Because the next is mandated vaccine.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
It's time to declare your independence. Let me tell you how you do it. This is how you do it. Here we go. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form! You know, they're always looking for a form. Give me that form. I'll fill it out. Can I have some freedom? You know, it doesn't work that way. You got to do what Tracy's done. She just know. So now we're in a situation where you know a lot of people. There's a lot of different, you know, organizations and groups and your precinct committee of blah, 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 and the Republican Party and you have and whatever. I would imagine there's, you know, Navajo County up here. There's a lot of, you know, Democrats, but they're all in office. You know, they're the bureaucrats. They work for the government. They're getting the welfare checks. They're doing it's like a culture thing up here, you know. So I'm going, all right, well, you know, the Republicans, is there an independent? Is there a libertarian streak up here? I mean, we've been coming up here for decades going, come on, man, you know. So how does it break down politically, the philosophical view of things?
I know in our little community, I think we're, borderline libertarian Republicans. A little libertarian, a little Republican. But just get off our, let us live. That's the philosophy up here, is just let us be.
You know, one thing, in 1996, Bob ran for Congress against J.D. Hayworth and Steve Owens, which was the chair of the Democratic Party at the time. And he's like, you know, I'd run. I'd throw my hat in the ring if, you know, I lived in that district, which was 6 originally. It was up here. And one of the guys bought him a hat and said, well, here it is, because you don't have to live in the district to run in it. And he goes, damn it. Okay. Well, I guess we're doing it. So he's down in West Phoenix area. Well, all right. And they asked him one time. They go, why are you running that district? You don't live there. He goes, because they best represent my philosophy.
Yep.
And it was the ranchers and farmers and miners and whatever up here that make, that's the engine for up here. And they abuse the crap out of you guys. It's all, they want to get the people off the land. You're not allowed to have land, and there's lots of land up here. Why? Why are they trying to get you off the land so much? What are they going to do with it?
Now, there was a deep subject.
Next hour, we got John Yeah, you know, and in this next hour, we got John and Melody Tate. They're going to be telling us all that. They just came in. They're going to be, you know, that's where you're going to have something to say, right, John? Yeah, okay, we'll get to you. You know, so this is, the reason I want to emphasize this and come up and help you guys, because we can be of help, you know, a bunch of activists, because we're from the Ron Paul Levolution. That Ron Paul Levolution logo, I'm the one that created that. That's why it's called the Love Bus, you know? It's all the same thing, you know? It's all of us, this philosophy of self-determination, all the promises that government makes. They don't promise that we're going to rule you and put a gun to your head and give me your taxes. That's not their promise. They're going to promise you prosperity and safety and security and, you know, all this other stuff. You know, a lot of it doesn't matter. You know, I'll take care of all that myself. I don't want you doing it. I'll take care of it myself. Just leave me alone. Well, they won't leave you alone. And they're not going to. And it's going to get worse. A lot worse. And if you don't see it by now, then you're just roadkill. Because I don't have time to affiliate with the people that are just waiting for the next election or something. There ain't going to be another one. This is it. You know, I'm glad that, you know, I'm not a supporter of anybody ruling me. So I don't care, you know what. But I do like the fact that Trump is pushing this to the end. Damn Skippy. You go, I want to know, I want to discover it. I don't care what happens. I want you to go all the way. And it loses. They're trying to make Trump illegitimate in the mind of people. This entire government is illegitimate. They let this fraud go by.
Yep.
So I'm going, okay, what's the plan for you, Tracy? The future. It's going to be, you know, the compliance with whatever's coming now. There's going to be all kinds of edicts, and we're going to, and you can't, and on the land, and cow farts are bad for something, and they must all die, and we got to go to, you know, veggie meat or something, you know, and you got to get off the land because there's some endangered dirt or squirrel or turtle or something, and whatever excuse it is. So your plan between now and the next election cycle is what?
To live. We're just going to live. We're going to do our thing, and if push comes to shove and they actually start trying to cram this down, that's the harder you have to fight, and everybody's going to have to wake up and choose a side. They're going to have to.
Is there a resources combined for maybe lawsuits? But then you're in their system doing their thing, you know, whatever.
It's not gonna
but
get
because the Democrats are already talking about they want to increase the number of federal districts so they can have more of their judges.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to want to increase the number of Supreme Court justices because, you know, Trump got, you know, three, God forbid, in there again, he might get a, you know, another couple, man. They're not digging it. So I'm wondering what the plan is. I mean, I have a plan. You know, my plan is no. I'm on a bus and, you know, in a year from now, we'll come back to Arizona. We've been traveling the country. You know, we started in Maine, we all the way across northern to Washington State, and now we're back to Arizona for the holidays and our family. We plan on leaving like mid-January, going to Key West. Then as it warms up, we'll go up to the Carolinas and back over to California and back and forth. But we'll be back here first weekend of August for the Jackalope Freedom Festival that we started about a decade ago. Now, that was us. So we do this, and it's just open. There's no, you know, kind of, man, it's just piracy, man, whatever, you know, show up. And it's a rip-roaring good time. Then we come back this next August for that, and then we're back in Arizona, and we're ready to rock and roll. But while we're here now, we want to meet people like you guys. Because when we come back, we want to be of help again. Because by then, you're going to be getting into the 22 election cycle. And not that I care about elections, it's that the election cycle is when people have to make philosophical decisions, what they're going to support. And the biggest thing is when a guy comes with a gun and they come with a clipboard and they come where they're going to make you, you know, you got to make a decision, you know, and it's been happening all over. Friday, we go down to a Scottsdale gym that a gym owner has said, look, I'm not closing anymore. You guys can suck it. So there we got. So this is starting to happen. What do you think is the characteristic of the people that have been saying no? What makes them different than other people?
They're trying to feed their family. They're trying to support their life. You don't want a handout. I don't want a handout. I just want to make a living and support my family.
And that was kind of unique with you. You had, you know, family members that worked there, extended family. It's you, it's them. And you go, look, we can't stay closed.
No. We got bills. We got house payments. We got car payments. We got kids.
Well, didn't they offer you some kind of loan or something?
Yeah.
Some grant, some kind of something.
Yeah, have you read the rules on that?
I know better than even start, because yeah. It's going to be, we rule you and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. Yeah, a friend of mine did. He's an attorney out of Glendale, and I filled it all out and so on for his employees and all that kind of stuff. I said, don't do this. And they go, oh, well, they say the pinky swear promise they're going to forgive the thing or something. I go, right. And you believe them? And I'm just like, you know, this is so neon flashing rats in cages stuff. So the people that are starting to organize, or they'll start, yeah, follow me. How many people are there like that? Are there 5, 6, 10? You know, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way.
I think there's more than people know that are just done with this. They're ready. Stand up.
Are they starting to consolidate behind one idea, one person, one group? Is there a tapestry of opposition and people are picking? You know, how's it look?
You know, I don't think it's a complete organization more than it's just people that believe the same way that are like done with this.
It's just a mood.
Yeah, it's a movement. It's a community movement where people are just done with this.
What we have found is when you do that and you get, this has been, you know, I make this prediction. When people get in that mode, they start having support from each other and they get amped up and they're all ready. Yeah. We're going to get until here they come and they're looking for the leader. Mm-hmm. If you have leaders, they're going to make an example. So it has to be a movement. It has to be just everybody. It has to be a thing that, you know, it's not even anybody in charge of nothing. No. If it's not that, then they'll just start whittling you off. You know, so I want to pay attention because I'm not involved here. I can see it coming. Yeah. You know, I just go, yeah, I can see what's happening. But we want to help. We're going to get one more segment with Tracy Packer from June's Cafe. And then we'll get to John and Melody.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
From?
I want to break free from your life.
I'm covering the secrets and exposing the lies. Yep, that's what we do here on Declare Your Independence. Well, we're doing it. You know, Tracy, I wanted to, you know, I frame this right and get everybody all up to speed and summarize what's going on. But, you know, this segment, I just want you to, you know, just talk to the people. You know, what are you were wanting to be a, you know, good merkin. You wanted to help. You wanted to make sure, you know, there could be a problem. You're not, you know, without empathy for your fellow individual. You wanted to do, but at what point did you start to realize, this is not what they're saying?
You know, we were going into summer and they're talking about not letting us open for Memorial Weekend. They want, and in this town, this is a tourist town. It's a summer vacation town. And they're trying to take the months that you put your money away to make it through the winter away from you, leading you to be dependent on their help, where you're going to get behind on your bills, and then it's going to affect your help, and you can't miss that window. And we just made up our mind whether they were going to let us open or not. We were opening for Memorial Weekend. We had given them their time. We had followed what they said. And if you're going to do it, if you're going to make it here, you have to utilize your window. And the minute we opened our doors, the outpouring of support was so incredible. And there's been the one or two people, you know, that have had problems. I mean, there's several that are... And it's like, what? We have to make a living. You have to support your family. You finally have to stand up.
At the expense of grandma.
You know?
Life is risk.
Yeah, I'm not downing on all of it. I know this is a serious illness.
Well, they should take care of themselves. So stay
home. Yeah, stay home. If you're worried about the situation, then don't get out. I don't begrudge anybody that's taken precautions. But don't begrudge me for trying to support my family and support my helpers and support my life.
You know, one thing that's interesting, I heard talk of an initiative that whenever they do shutdowns or anything that economically affects constituents, that all government employees, you get a check, you don't get it anymore. You know, it's fine to have a health inspector come down and shut you down, you know, but what if he didn't get paid,
mm-hmm.
you know, or she?
That'd kind of change it, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, that's, yeah, but those are going to go, hell no. Mm-hmm. We need to get paid so we can tell you to not get paid. So, mm-hmm. I'm it's stupid. And it's, you know, it's South Park 12-year-old fifth grader stupid. Yeah. You know, I mean, not that they're stupid. They see the stupidity. You know, they see right through it. You know, a kid goes, well, that's stupid. You know, how did you get your mind screwed up to where you're thinking this is okay? This is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, so stupid is, stupid does. And because it's stupid, it doesn't last.
Nope.
So at what point, you know, where's the breaking point? Are you waiting on, you know, Doug Ducey's going to fix it? I mean, how's it going to get fixed? Just people just ignore it?
I don't think it's going to get fixed. You've got to move on. You've got to live. You've got to just go on with your life. You can't keep looking for them for answers because they're self-motivated and they have self-interest. If you don't take care of you, who's going to take care of you?
Oh, they'll take care of you, all right.
Yeah, the bad way. Take everything you've got.
You know, what do you see for the rest of this year? Does it start getting busy when it snows up here?
You know, it used to, but, you know, the Apache Reservation is where the skiing is,
mm-hmm.
and they're not open. They're shut back down. So skiing, whether you got 10 feet or not, there is no skiing now.
You know, that's one thing, the Native American reservations, I'm going, you know, are they sovereign or they're not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, if you're sovereign, you know, I go, sign me up, man. You know, who do I got to, you know, what do I got to do to be a tribal member of? Because I've been over here and we'd be sovereign. Well, they're like, well, because we've campaigned, statewide campaigns. I go all over the place and all they want to know, and their tribal council, they sit you down, all the candidates, how much more are you going to give us?
Yep.
You know, what are we going to get? How we benefit from this? What do you got? I'm going, whoa, you guys don't see the value of your sovereignty? What's that? Okay. It's been beaten out of them. Now, of course, Native American and Black community and minorities, so they want to vaccinate them first because
yep.
we love them so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, now, there's this RNA vaccinated. We had a lot of scientists and doctors on it. This changes you. And we just had yesterday, Bill Gates admitted that it changes your DNA. Oh, yeah, for the better. Mm. What? Yeah, what?
Who's better?
It's going to be their better. I can guarantee that, you know. So this is, and then, of course, they want to get meat out of it. Well, what does protein do? You know, the meat, it turns you into, like, you know, I got some resistance, man. I got some power. I got, yep. You know, this is obvious. If it's not obvious to everybody by now, you know, those that aren't willing to stand up for their own freedom, which has happened throughout history. It's been a small percentage. But you know, I don't want to put you on the spot publicly because I'm like, you can't infiltrate a militia of one. You know, I'm you don't, when Ernie goes quiet, that's when you need to worry, okay? Because I'm saying, what happened to Ernie? I don't know, man. He's under this rock somewhere. He's doing something, you know? But I'm wondering, you know, what do you think, in general, people have to do? I mean, you're saying, yeah, just live your life and open and everything. They're not going to want to do that. At some point, there's resistance.
Well, what I see going forward is, I don't know how it's going to be in other places. I know here, I think on a whole, people will stand up for themselves because of the family values and, you know, your religious beliefs, no matter which religion it is, and your faith that life has to go on up here. If they come, that's, of course, we'll change things. You know, you're going to have to react as the situations arise, but I'm praying that enough is enough and that people have had it and are finally starting to see that government control is not it's all cracked up to be.
No. It's been, and they keep going, well, it's a government of, by, for the people. Kind of like, yeah, since when? You know, this is something that, you know, it's why it didn't used to be. 20 years ago, you know, you wouldn't be, you know, nobody would be saying, we're kind of leaning a little bit, kind of know how to spell libertarian. No, hell no. Ooh, the evil devil worshiping, whatever the heck. And I'm telling you, what a lot of people don't realize, people of faith, I mean, a lot of libertarians go, no, the Christians are coming, you know. But it was amazing to me how many people went libertarian because of their faith.
Yes.
You know, it was, you know, take care of yourself. Be a witness. You know, it's not, you know, Christ didn't advocate force. You know, there was no, you know, the persuasion was what it was. Voluntary. You know, I am the light and the way. Follow me. Treat your brother as. Golden rule. This is what we call the non-aggression principle. You know, initiation of force. I am libertarian, you know, because I'm Christian.
Exactly.
You know, that has been, so what happens is, Declaration of Independence was the promise that they made. I'm not a big Constitution fan. It's all about the power, the power, the power, the power. You know, the power to war, the power to tax, power in eminent domain, the power to regulate commerce. Why don't you just make them king? Well, that's why we got the Bill of Rights. You know, a bunch of libertarians of the day went, whoa. Man, we're going to have a whole bunch of 10 thou shalt nots. Let's add this, you can. Well, then they go, yeah, we don't care about that part. We care about, we have the power part, you know, and the Supreme Court's going to make you whatever. So this is what the battle has always been. And it's going to be sparking all over the nation. We've been traveling the countryside, and we kind of stay off the interstates mostly. We're going to small communities. And I tell you what I saw. It was saturated with Trump and Pence signs and flags. Yeah. I don't give a crap what they said. It was everywhere. And for them to do this and say why, I'm going, yeah, I don't think so. And to the point that I think a lot of people realized it, and it's not going to matter what the talking heads say. You know, it doesn't matter. Is the media corrupt to take? Yeah. Is the government? Yeah. The schools? Yeah. That's why a lot of people pull out. What about homeschooling here? Is that a thing?
It is. It's taking effect. Homeschooling is picking up a lot. My youngest daughter, is homeschooling her children this year. Started, so.
Enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. She's having a ball.
You know, our kids, it's a hard sit down and plow and mom's on them for 3 hours and then they're done.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the time was a bunch of waste time crap anyway, you know? Plus, they got their soccer and church, and yep. So they get socialized, they're fine. You know, it's just, I think what we're realizing is that we got a monkey on our back, and it's got an IV bleeding us, and it's just not going to go away. We have to cast it off between the ears. The revolution is between the ears, and helping nurture that idea and just people like Tracy Packer. June's Cafe. It's worth a trip up northeastern Arizona because it's beautiful up here anyway. And, I'll get you some coffee and some good hamburgers. John and Melody Tate.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Remember, we are not afraid!
In the field, here on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, in Obergard, the Heber area, northeastern Arizona, at the intersection of. Now, there's a main intersection here. One goes all the way up to I-40, and you go to Albuquerque, or you're going to Flagstaff, L.A., and so on. And then you go south of that about 40 miles or so, and you hit another road that goes across the state. Well, it goes about halfway over down the Payson, and then you go south, you get to Phoenix and so on. And it's well known. If you live in Arizona, you know, Heber, Obergard area, you know, Sholo, Snowflake, it's up here. And that's where they call it the White Mountains, and it's beautiful. Now, they have a ski resort Sunrise. Sunrise is up here, and it's really nice. It's a first-class ski resort, but it's on the Native American Reservation, the Apaches. And somebody paid them off. And he said, nah, just shut down. You would think that being we're a sovereign nation, you know, bite me. We're opening up the casino. We're opening up everything. But they didn't. I'm waiting for that one, you know, in reservation going, and we're open. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, they're going to do something. They're going to say, oh, no. You is our second set of slaves. No, they're probably the first set of slaves, you know. So this has been, when you go around and you campaign and you go to these forums and so on the reservations, the only thing they want to know is what you're going to give them. They go, yeah, what kind of, you know, for congressmen, you know, what are you going to give us? I'm going to leave you alone. How about that? Nah, it's not good enough. Yeah, well, they're finding out right now, too. But there's not that many, and they just pay them off. Educate their kids, do it, and just kind of that culture and so on just kind of fades away. And then they'll come in and take their land. The same thing is happening in the rural areas. They want you off the land, the same reasons, for whatever purposes they want. Anybody else got big, giant tracts of land. In the state of Arizona, with all of the national forests, BLM, the gunnery ranges, the military zone of reservation, there's only a big state of Arizona, 16% is in private hands. That is amazing to me. So I'm saying we go the other way, and we go, and it's ours now. So this is happening. We got the state of Texas right now is suing many of the other, you know, Georgia, Michigan, I think maybe Wisconsin, and some of the, you know, Pennsylvania, these other states that had fraudulent election, they're saying we're affected by this. The state of Texas is suing the other states. And I'm going straight to the Supreme Court, and I'm going, ooh, it's on. And they got cowboy hats and stuff. Oh, yeah. Anybody launch Starship today? No. So we're going to keep track of that. Hey, Bob, you keeping track of Starship?
Yep,
he's keeping track. All right. So we get news there. We'll let you know, and definitely we'll be watching that after. So now we're talking with John and Melody Tate. I'm going to have them introduce themselves and say what they're doing. But they're Citizens for Multiple Land Use and Access. Now, access, this is something that I noticed in the 90s. After Kyoto and Rio and the environmental stuff and so on. And I remember it was 2002 when the big fire was up here, an Obergard fire. We had someone should be on in the third hour that I've known, and we had people come on my radio show back in 03 when I was in Scottsdale, and they were talking about they could have saved their land, their home, their property, and the federal government wouldn't let them. There was something going on. Then they found out about, what did they find out about? The Green Cross. Mikhail Gorbachev, after he left the Soviet Union, became in charge of what they called the Green Cross, which all this environmental stuff. It became part of the UN, blah, 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 blah. And they could see there was a plan. So from that I learned from you guys up here, we knew where to keep track of what the plan was. And the plan is, whatever excuse they come up with, to take your land, your water rights, your value, and get you off. So from your perspective, John, help me out. What do you think's going on?
We started the CMAUA about 15 years ago. And what we saw back then, 15 years back, was more and more movement inside the U.S. Forest Service and BLM to restrict movement of...
Here, Melody, let him use your headset real quick. I'm not getting the feed off of that enough.
There was more and more movement inside Forest Service and BLM, both 15 years back and further, to restrict the movement of the citizens inside the land that we own. They don't own it. They manage it. And they were acting like they had sole ownership and complete control. So the CMAUA was formed by John Bennett over in Springerville and Doyle Shamley and a few of the other guys. I joined them about 10, 11 years ago. I come from a background of loggers. My dad was a logger right here in Heber in 1945. I came here to Heber in 1945 when I was 3 months old. So our family has a history here for 75 years. And the logging business was driven out, totally out of business by environmentalists. The only ones that we see ever took care of the woods in this country was the loggers and the ranchers. It wasn't the Forest Service. loggers and ranchers. We had a policy in the 70s that was abolished in the 70s called multi-use management. Multi-use covered mining, logging, recreation, hunting, fishing, whatever. And it was totally abandoned because of environmental policies. Well, in the process of researching all of this stuff over the years, and we've researched thousands and thousands of pages of documents, we discovered that a little known thing that people didn't want to believe back then called One World Order, Agenda 21. And this stuff was connected. The Forest Service was loading up with people that were strong environmentalists and wanted all this forest, all of our forest, turned into wilderness again with no one in them. No one. And they had a little deal in Agenda 21 called rewilding, which meant predators would rule the forest, not the people. Lo and behold, we show up with a bunch of wolves. We got involved in a wolf problem. I've testified with the Fish and Wildlife Service five or six times, the State Senate, Game and Fish, you name it. We had private seminars on all of this stuff. And the way we saw it was all of it was interconnected, and it was all based on control. Control of resources, control of food, control of water, control of the people.
Do you think environmentalism was the actual goal or the excuse?
No, excuse.
This is, you know, here in Arizona, a lot of people, they don't know our history. There was the Babbitt family. Now, Bruce Babbitt was governor in mid-90s or something around there, or early around there. And his family were loggers. You know, they're lumber. Well, all of a sudden, somehow, he became Interior Secretary for Clinton. But also the family, they have the concession on all things sold in the, you know, the gift shop and everything for the Grand Canyon. Okay? So I'm going, wow. That's a nice deal if you can get it, you know? So this, there's always been corruption and benefit and who and what, and it used to be it's Democrats and Republicans or whatever. It's always been about control of the land, which means the people. This has been a people control thing, and the ones that are on the land making their own livelihood are a threat.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And John and Melody Tate. You know, we'll get to Melody here in a little bit, but I wanted to, you know, John's been going through this from a different perspective. I'm wondering, because the perspective that a lot of the conservatives and people of faith, people that are entrepreneurs, people that are close to the land, they see this coming. And they're like, look, man, are we here by ourselves? No. There's other people like, well, it's not a big number. Because you're in a rural area, you know, one family could represent, you know, freaking 100 acres. I mean, you know, it's not densely packed in an apartment building, you know. So you have to bind together. Well, you know, we know Ammon Bundy well. You know, we followed that. I've had him on quite a few times. And so we, you know, Jordan Page that did the song Cowboy Story, you know, for Lavoie Fennecum. You know, we've been involved in, like, we see it. You know, in the 90s, Vince Soprenowitz is the Las Vegas Review-Journal editor that wrote, you know, warning that this stuff was coming. You know, and I remember even in the 70s, I was in high school, it was called the Sagebrush Rebellion. You know, and it went into the Reagan administration to kind of push them back a little bit. But I can see there was never a fundamental understanding. They're not stopping. This is going to continue until you are gone, and it's their property. That's where this biodiversity United Nation of, you know, we got little stickers and closed down the Forest Service roads of you're not allowed to recreate, of you can't, and hunting, and it's done, and you can't have guns on federal land. I mean, everything. It's been a long, slow, and sometimes fast march to you guys are in the way. At some point, there has to be put. Now, we're starting to see it. You know, the Bundy Ranch and the Oregon thing and the trials in Las Vegas. So we covered all that. I could see there's little pockets of it. But Arizona has a, you know, a special place in my life. And my wife and I, last October, we decided to get ready for this. We bought this place. We started fitting it out with all the electronics and everything. We hit the road in May. We'll be back a year from now, you'll be next August, to stay. When we come in, we're like, all right, here we go. Who do we help? What are we aligned with? We're not going to have a big ranch. We don't have a farm. I got grandchildren. That's my future. I want to have a place. I want to buy land. I want to build. You know, we make geodesic dome stamp press of kick button, had aquaponics and turkeys and, you know, a bunch of chickens. And we had a 2-acre place in Sunburst Farms in northwestern Arizona in Arrowhead there. So we learned how to be self-sustaining so that we could do this. Where can I go for that? Who's going to leave me alone? Is it my property? Am I going to be, you know, I got a question. You know, this whole trip is two things. One, do I own myself? It's a property right thing. Am I going to have to submit to a notions and potions from the crown that's going to inject my flesh and that of my children with their idea of what they want me to have and how it's going to change me or make me sick or what? Where does my property right in my body come? You know, where's that? The proper role of government is defense of my individual rights. The other thing is, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? I can put a tent in front of City Hall, and they'll come wash it off and get the hypodermics out and put my crap in the gutter, you know, and I can stay there. But I take that same tent and I put it on land I own. Mm-hmm. I go to jail without a permit from the crown. When the hell did that happen in America? We're finding out stuff. But you can understand, I'm here more for a realization from you, John. All the ranchers and farmers and stuff up here, how can I help you if you're looking for the government to fix it for you?
Can't let the government fix anything.
Thank you. I'm your new best friend. Because I'm telling you, this battle is not going to be how you're going to vote or elect or whatever. Because the forces that are coming against you, they're using all that against you. And it's from way up higher. How far up do you think this goes?
It goes to international powers, not just here. It's worldwide.
Yep. How are you going to fight it? What are you doing?
No one can fight it but the people.
You know, there's one thing you said in the break in last hour about, you talked about ELF, you know, and how they're structured. Talk about that.
I once worked for years and years in the paper and power industry. And we had a stud mill in Oregon burned to the ground. We had a lumber yard burned in Mesilla, Oregon, by ELF. And what we learned, I talked to our detectives that work for the
company. What does ELF stand for? What is that?
Earth Liberation Front. They're eco-terrorism, domestic.
Yeah, they're sort of Antifa for environmental whatever.
Yeah. These people can't penetrate them. I actually have talked to FBI agents about it. I have a niece that's an FBI agent. They can't penetrate ELF, and the reason they can't penetrate them is because ELF has no structure. Each individual works on his own, so there's no meetings, no leaders. This gives them almost complete anonymity. They just can't be found. They have only convicted one or two of them in their history, and that one of those was up in Oregon. They burned a Hummer dealership and happened to be stopped for a broken taillight, and the gasoline can was in the car. They've caught them by accident. The ones that burned our facilities at Boise Cascade were never caught. But it's because of their structure. No structure. That's the point.
Well, it's a philosophy, a movement, an idea, and they get radicalized, and we've seen it happen with social media. Mm-hmm. You get more of what you reward and less of what you punish. What do you punish? Individual liberty, you know, free thought, free markets, you know, I'm staying open. You punish the crap out of that while you're going, oh, yeah, as long as you burn down the right buildings or whatever, it's okay, it's all good. It's a peaceful protest. This is so obvious to so many, but we've gone so far down this road. I don't want to ask you on air and have you really respond. It's more rhetorical, but at some point, you know, you can't infiltrate a militia of one. I mean, you know, it's just individuals have to come to the understanding they have to do something. The problem is knowing what to do. It's, you know, where do you put your effort? Where, and what we've decided to do, and I'm not, this is not for everybody, love and compassion. That's why it's the love bus. You're just going to love them to death. We're going to, you know, put up some signs. We're going to resist. We're going to go old Gandhi on them, let them beat us, you know, kind of thing, until we don't. But, you know, the thing, but the power is in what? What do you advocate? What are you hoping people will take on?
I'll tell you, one of my pet peeves over the years, and I've made the statement many times, the country gets sidetracked with self-interest. And the self-interest aren't necessarily healthy. They don't know what's being done to them in the backyard because they're in the front doing something else. What I've always advocated is that people need to pay attention to what's happening. When something's not right, they need to make sure that something's done about it. When we started the CMAOA, the Forest Service thought it was almost comical that we started it, that we were going to battle the Forest Service. Well, they had a deal called Travel Management Rule.
That's Citizens for Multiple Land Use and Access. We'll get right to this with the Forest Service and the confrontation that started to begin when we come back in the next segment with John Tate. And we'll get Melody in here, too. We want to hear what she has to say. No, you don't want to talk? Okay, well, you can cheerlead. All right, we'll be back with John in just a little bit.
She's a smart lady.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We don't need no stinking roads. Well, yeah, I have flying cars. Got the government out of the way. Damn it. You know, this is, we're talking with John Tate. And it, back in the day, when this first started, you're getting, what the hell is going on? They created the Citizens for Multiple Land Use and Access. You know, to preserve and ensure continued access to all federal, state, and local lands for multiple uses by all citizens. The reason was that the concept is it's our land. Don't tell us it's our land and we can't go camping. We can't go on it. And, you know, Arizona was it's full of trails and, you know, some improved, some unimproved. And a lot of it was for forest management, you know, for fires or for ranching or for whatever. We made use of it. That's why our state seal in Arizona is ranching, mining, and agriculture. You know, this is a big, we use land. Cause we got lots of land we're using. We're land using here. Now, then they came up with a thing called TMR, Travel Management Rule. Now, whenever they come up with these things and they get some resistance, then they take those bureaucrats and they put them in another department or call them something else and they just keep doing the same thing. So it's just this amorphous coming after you thing. So when did you find out about the TMR and how did you guys react to that?
We got, when John Bennett and all of them got involved before my time with them, they got involved about 15 years ago, and John and Gary Finch and Jimmy and Doyle Shamley all started looking into this new idea that had popped up at that time, that they were going to put Travel Management Rule in, which dictated which roads could be open and which roads they would close, and what they called decommissioning. At the same time, many other roads were gated at a cost to the taxpayer of about $12,000 or $15,000 a gate. And they could just arbitrarily shut a gate, put a lock on it. Well, they attempted to do this on top of the mountain above Springerville, and we broke out a map and we started checking the gates. And if you locked all of those gates at one time, they locked out a half a million acres. And you couldn't get in it. So we started fighting over that. We finally talked to the county attorney and we talked to the sheriff's department in Apache County, and we managed to open the gates by putting it under health and safety. If someone got hurt on that mountain and all those gates were locked, you couldn't get to them to help them. We actually had it happen. It took like 2 or 3 hours to get the Forest Service to come up to unlock a gate so we could get the guy to help him. So we managed to keep them open on that point. As far as I know, Apache Sitgraves is the last forest in the United States that hadn't enacted this. And it's primarily because we fought them for all these years. The sheriff's department has helped us. The county attorney has helped us. But that's what you have to do, is enlist other people that have some leverage and, if need be, go to court or whatever.
Do you see that in opposition to that, as a counter, they just get their own sheriff, their own county attorney, their own... I mean, this is one thing that we've seen about a lot of the support from George Soros that's, doing a lot of this stuff. He's gone after the county attorneys. It's the district attorneys, yes. It's the attorney generals of, and the assistant of whatever, and the prosecutors, the people that determine who gets charged or not. Here in California, in California next to us, they go, yeah, but if they really needed that TV, you shouldn't prosecute them for looting. I'm like, what? So this is the kind of stuff that's going on. So you get more of what you reward and less of what you punish. And if you guys have been successful, would you consider yourself successful?
Yes.
Do you have the man, certainly the federal alleys, leaving you alone, more than probably, another area of Arizona?
I think for the most part, one of the things that entered into this was in the areas that have travel management rule, to violate travel management rules, severe penalties. Like Coconino Forest has it, Flagstaff. Coconino, if you get on a road that they didn't authorize and they catch you on the road, penalty can be up to $5,000.
Wow.
And if you've damaged the road, it's up to $5,000 a mile. This is the thing.
They come into Coconino because that's where Northern Arizona University is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We went over to Flagstaff knowing what we know here. We went to Flagstaff because we knew they were going to go after them, and put a seminar on telling the people that showed up at that room what was coming. And this is a perfect example. They had other interests, did not act on it, and now they have it. Now,
so what? See, I'm. You get back to the proper role of government. Why are they there? And the land, is it to keep the land under the control of the government? Is it to keep it safe from individuals using it? Is that their role? I'm wondering. Because we had Teddy Roosevelt doing the National Forest thing. We're going to protect it from the people. But there was during a lot of this, I remember there is a Western State Initiative of something that the Enabling Act, which created Arizona, New Mexico, and a lot of this stuff here, that this land, west of the Mississippi, was supposed to be revert to the state. It was like, you got it all going on. Okay, it's yours now. Peace out. We're out. What happened to that? I mean, I know people are making that effort sometimes, but it's kind of like lost and forgotten.
I sit at meetings in Payson twice a month for about 2 years discussing land management and land transfer. And as a matter of fact, we spent 3.5 hours in a closed door room one day with Congressman Gosar, who I've dealt with many times since then. And what he was there for was not to make a speech, but he was there to listen to us and learn about the Forest Service, because he knew very little about it. He was just beginning in office. And so we basically sat in that room with Brenda Barton and Sylvia Allen and various others, and we educated him on these Forest Service things. At the same time, went into the background, my background, and these other guys I work with of families that have been in logging since I was born, and how the forest was managed in those days. In the 60s, the Sitgraves Forest south of Winslow at the ranger station out there where we had our logging camp was so well managed that it was actually picked as a poster child for the Forest Service magazine. Now it's a jungle. It's a fire hazard. And it's all due to these failed policies for 50 years.
Yeah, see, that's like they say in like the, education's failed, their management of the forest has failed. It hadn't failed. It's done what they wanted.
That's right.
My thing is that if you had, I remember I was a freshman in high school, so this is like late 70s, and I just did the math. I mean, just at the time, it was 5-6 billion people on the planet, and you divided it in the area of Arizona, everybody, the entire world's population got a classroom size of whatever. You know, you could beat. So I'm going, yeah, I don't think there's really a shortage of land. You know, it's like, and if we're here in Arizona and you had the promise that all this land was going to revert back to the people, I'm like, all right, well, where's my cut? I mean, because Arizona, there's a lot of land. I mean, it is open, are you freaking kidding me, land. And people from back east, you go up in an airplane, everything's gridded out in the farm or whatever. You come, I mean, I've seen it happen. My brother-in-law, he came out west, and he's like, he went to San Diego and then drove to Phoenix. And at the time, there was a, you know, big land thing, and, you know, they're taking the land. He goes, are you freaking kidding me? Man, there's way more than enough land. With technology, that's why PiratesWithoutBorders.com are all about, you know, what happens when you can generate your own electricity, your own food, build your own place. All you need is some land to do it. And it's with technology and Starlink and satellite and whatever, you can do it freaking anywhere, out in the middle of the nothing. In fact, people have in the deserts in Maricopa County. You have communities everywhere because they can. And there's water underneath. We have 40 years of water here in Arizona. I'm going, and they don't want you to know that. There's something else going on.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And John and Melody Tate, because they're independence declaring kind of individuals. Now, there's an overlapping issue that Arizona dealt with this too. We just came from Washington State. And their big thing, you know, a lot of people in the same situation, they have certainly eastern Washington, they're just like, man, we're just going to carve off, man. You know, let Seattle and whatever be there, hell, even Spokane, we'll just be our own, because we are definitely different than whatever's coming out of Seattle. So they have a wolf problem. This has been something that they have just been, you know, we need to get the humans off the land. And, big-ass wolves will do that for you, you know, so we're going to introduce a lot of wolves. And now when they come in, the government agents will come in and meet with the farmer, and they said, you touch one hair of that wolf, I don't care if it's gnawing your arm off, well, we're going to get you. It's going to be gazillion-dollar fines and felonies, and threaten them with all kind of death and damnation, you know, about this wolf thing. Well, you know, I'm like, and they tag them, they collar them, they're going to keep track of them some wolf. Well, I'm going, all right, I'm thinking out in the Lone Prairie, whatever happens, and we'll see. But, man, they're going to send in the drones. I mean, you know, whatever they're wanting to do. But it's not about the wolves. That's just a mechanism, an excuse. Well, you guys went through that here.
Yes.
You know, the gray wolf, I remember that years ago. They were bringing in the wolves, and it was having all kinds of problems. Well, tell me about those meetings.
A wolf issue popped up, of course, when they planted them in western New Mexico on the Arizona border. And as they multiplied and more plants were made, more problems cropped up. If you go over to Reserve New Mexico today, you'll see cages where the bus stops are. Let's put the kids in, because the wolves were following them to the bus stop.
Duh.
We have pictures of that. We displayed that several years back for state officials. We had a lady testify in one of our meetings. She was driving down the road outside Reserve, New Mexico. Her baby started crying. She pulled over on the side of the road, summertime, had her window down, and she started dealing with the baby, and she thought something was there. As she turned and looked out the window, she had a wolf standing by the door. It had listened to that baby. We have a lady, head of the Cattlemen's Association in Springerville, had a $15,000 roping horse killed by wolves. We have a guy about 8 and 9 years ago named Jess Tyler over on the New Mexico border. Has a ranch. I guess he still got it. He had $75,000 worth of calves killed in 1 year by wolves. He paid $15,000 more for people to protect what he had left. When he turned in a claim to the Fish and Wildlife Service for the depredation, I think it was $1,690 in a tax form is what he got.
In the past, in southeastern Arizona, when mountain lions are taken out, you know, they call fish and game or something. They'll come out, they'll trap them, they'll kill them, they'll whatever. They'll manage it. They'll go, okay, we'll take care of you. That's changed. That's not the same thing anymore. What was the threats of, you know, death and damnation they would make if you, you know, touched a wolf? And under what circumstances? Could you, defend yourself? I mean, you know.
The protections were just lifted by this administration recently. But up till that time, if you harmed a wolf, $50,000 fine, and if you did it and a neighbor found out and turned you in, the reward for turning you in was up to around $65,000.
Wow!
It's a class felony, class one felony. And if the wolf, at first, no one could even bother him. I mean, at all. It, literally under threat of death. And
no, I mean, could you defend your kid, or they didn't care?
Not in the beginning. Not in the beginning. They would come in.
You shouldn't have been on the land, white man.
They would come in and arrest you regardless. And then you would have to prove, if you could, the intent of the wolf. Well, we had meetings in Pine Top and Alpine. And, of course, we had a room full of environmentalists on one side and a room full of us on the other side. I did two talk shows in Payson.
Well, how many people? You know, a couple dozen?
There was about 400.
Whoa, okay. So, all right.
Well, the rules did change that you could protect your property, your life, your livestock, your pets, whether it was in your property or someone else's, as long as the wolf was threatening. But the rules were, if you shot the wolf, it had to be facing you. If you just arbitrarily shot one that was moving away from you or something, you're still in trouble. That's the way things were. We argued with environmentalists, I did, on numerous occasions over these things. We had all kinds of people testifying about what they had seen happen with wildlife. People don't understand, but in the state of Arizona in the 1900s, early 1900s, there was no elk. So in 1912, my home, kind of a hometown of Winslow, the Elks Club planted elk, not the Game and Fish, Elks Club. Planted elk in 1912 and again in 1914. And all the elk we have now are from those plants. So it took all these years to develop a really prime elk herd that we have. Well, we had a truck driver come into a meeting in Springerville one night, and he testified that he was driving a semi out of a reserve in New Mexico, and he watched six wolves take a six-point bull elk down and chew about 20 pounds of his hind end out and then leave. And the elk walked a ways, laid down, and bled out. That's a unique thing about a wolf, is a wolf does not kill anything. It feeds by needs. It just chews on an animal till it's satisfied and walks off. The animal's still alive. They don't ever do a lethal kill like a mountain lion.
And that's another thing. Wolves, a lot of times, they're in packs.
Oh, yes, big pack.
You know, I mean, you got a wolf coming at you, man, you'll damn. You know, they're you have some concern. Now, here, up here, are there wolves now up in this area when we go to Jackalope?
There's a pack of five, at least five, south of Heber here, down Artist Draw. And they were put in here by the Fish and Wildlife Service about 5 or 6 years ago. There's at least three out on the 504 road going towards Winslow. So we know of at least eight in this area. I've had two in my yard.
Okay, now, all right. So we have elk that's not indigenous here. You know, they're planted, and they go, well, you know, you got the elk for the wolves, and the wolves, you know, for the kind of, I'm like, come on, man. I mean, you know, is there any people involved in this thing? Can we have some people? And then when I've seen it over my lifetime, been here since the early 70s, and my mother's side of the family, they were part of the Lehigh Mormon invasion back in the 50s. You know, so it'd been, you know, I know how it works. Well, the thing is that, you know, this is certainly the Mormon community. They every freaking wide spot in the road in Arizona, the hinterland or whatever, here they come. You know, so they've made lives for themselves here. We're going to be heading from here. We might go down to Young, you know, we're looking for property and talking to different people and so on. There's a lot of nice places in Arizona. But it's it was always about taming it for the people. And, you know, of course they don't want to, you know, manage it or screw up stuff. And if you got somebody else's life, liberty, and property being damaged, well, you know, you got damage. Where does the, what do you think the government should be doing in making sure that, you know, like clear cut, or you're having problems with the land, or I mean, is there any management? Is there any control, or is it I bought it, it's mine, and bite me as long as I'm not bothering you, you know, whatever. What do you think it should be?
Well, if you've got property, property should be yours, and your control of that property should be yours, as far as I'm concerned. But if you really look at property realistically, and this is nothing new, but if you look at it realistically, I don't care how long you own the property, you really don't have it, because the county still got their finger in it the rest of your life. There's a piece of government always controlling what you're sitting on. There's rules, regulations, and taxes all applied to it. Even though you own it, you paid for it. So that part of it's always been evident. It's been there forever. But, you know, for the most part, I'm like Tracy. For the people up in this country up here are kind of different. They're frontier-like. They want to live in peace. They don't need the government to take care of them. They don't want them to. And I think that's the way it should be for everybody.
You know, this is, and if they, even if they do, it's not from Washington. You know, this whole thing is a local, you know, the people that are affected here, you know, they're the ones that even should have a say, right or wrong. You know, I mean, somebody else coming in and telling you what you got, I'm not digging it. And it's been, you know, states right, small United States of America. It was like the state was sovereign. And that is, but I see the mindset starting to change. I'm seeing people starting to realize what's been going on. Now that you guys are on this path, you know, no more negotiation with these guys. They're going to try and, you know, appease you, and they always have, and they keep coming back with more stuff. It's over, and we want to help. So this is one of, you know, I always have a soft spot up here, and that's why we do Jackalope, you know, Freedom Festival. We're going to be back. Here we
go. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, on the feared, 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 here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You know, and you don't need me to declare your independence. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You go, I declare my independence. How easy it was. No government form. I'm just so, everybody's looking for a form. How do? I need to fill out the, no, you don't. That's the whole point. That's what we're trying to get away from. It's not, you know, you're doing it wrong. You know, I'm like, oh, shut up. This is, I'm telling you, it's on, it's on, it's on, it's on. Now, who we're having on in this hour, Kathy Gibson, we know each other. We've overlapped before in days of whatever.
Yes.
And I remember you were producer for a woman that was a talk show host on a sister station.
Yes.
That I was on in the Valley, and I can't remember her name.
Terry Gilbert.
Terry Gilbert. Go ahead and pull your mic up in front of your face there.
Is that
there
better?
Yeah.
There you go.
Terry Gilbert, she's a conservative a Christian, right wing, God, America, and going kick butt, you know. And I remember we had talked, and we had worked together with her on different things before. And have you ever been on my show before? There was.
I have. It's been a long time ago.
It was 03.
Back in the day.
Okay, that's who you are. I remember I go, I think I know who she is.
Yeah, Kathy Gibson Boatman. I'm the good KGB. So
KGB.
That's how people know me in these parts and kind of around our state.
Okay, this is what I remember of Kathy. This is a good story. In 02, there was a big giant fire up here.
Correct.
And they were prevented from protecting their own property. Federal government came in. I got a bulldozer. I can fix it. Nope, not allowed. Now burn, baby, burn. We don't get all y'all off. Hell, we lit it. I mean, you know, whatever. Like what's going on in California. You know, got a bunch of people here. Yeah, we'll cure that. Watch this. You know, so this is kind of the mindset that was going on up here. There's something weird going on. You're not, hey, they're starting to shut down the forest. They're starting to shut down the land. They're starting to go after farmers and miners and ranchers. They're starting, who is this? What's going on? Well, this came out of the Kyoto and Rio and agenda, whatever the heck, and nobody knew about it. They just created these regional governments. They were trying to legislative powers on the county level and all the bureaucrats and, you know, to harass the people and eat out their substance. I mean, here it comes. Well, they did scratch the surface, and they found out that Mikhail Gorbachev, when he left the Soviet Union being the head SOB in charge there, all of a sudden he disappeared. What happened to him? He started the Green Cross. The Green Cross of watermelons. We're green on the outside, red in the middle. We're going to control you through environmentalism and all this agenda, what environmental stuff. Well, they did. And when they started invading into Arizona and the ranch land and the rural areas and all the, they're using, you know, bringing the wolves, you know, whatever the heck they could do to tell you how to use your land to the point that you could not defend your own land against fire. And that's when you got, what the heck? And you, I remember you came on my show, and I have used that information more than you can imagine of me understanding what was going on.
Well, that's good to know, because in this little community, we are this enclave of freedom. We are this frontier spirit, like your previous guest was saying. There's a frontier spirit here. And just this past summer, I went with my sweetheart, who was, his name's Kenny Garvin. He was the water operator for the town of Heber during that fire. And we didn't know each other then, but now, you know, all these years later, I had him take me this summer to the place where the town took a stand and said, we will fight this fire. Because it's correct, the government had equipment lined up clear down the highway that was just sitting there not being used. And meanwhile, here comes a fire barreling into town, into the main canyon in town, where it would take the town. And the people here knew what was happening, and they said, no, we're not losing our town. So in spite of the authorities giving stand down orders to the official fire service, the officials in the Forest Service and our local fire department, these local citizens, private citizens, took equipment up into the canyon, and they picked the best spot where they knew that if the fire crossed the canyon there, the town's gone. And these people went up there and they took a stand. They made a fire line. They just plowed through it, pushed the trees aside. There was cats going. There was people going behind them with chainsaws, and they made a fire line and they made a stand. And you know what? That is where that fire stopped and did not take our town. They had spot fires coming in.
Yeah, a lot of people did lose a lot of stuff, though.
But we lost a lot, yeah. But had they not done that, we would have lost the whole town, the elementary schools there. You know, everything would have been lost had they not taken that stand. And we went out there because it was just before Independence Day. And, you know, Independence Day, our governor had made some more decisions and put his edicts out that was going to stop the Independence Day celebrations. Our Chamber of Commerce had decided that they could not follow the governor's COVID guidelines and still put on these celebrations. So they were canceling the parade, they were canceling the fireworks, they were canceling everything for our Independence Day. But you want to know what?
People just did it anyway. Screw them.
We did it anyway. We said no. We took a stand before. We're not the kind that just says, well, okay, we'll just give up then. So we, in the span of a week, from the Friday that it was determined all that was canceled to the following Friday when that parade was scheduled, we in the community threw a parade. And we had very little social media. There's a group in town that has an announcement page or a bulletin page, but they stay away from political issues and some free speech issues, so they couldn't do much advertising about this little parade we were throwing. But we still managed to pull that parade off. We went from the American Legion. We had in the thousands that actually attended and participated.
Of course they did.
And it was awesome. It was the most patriotic feeling ever. And my sweetheart, Kenny, because he's one of those that will take a stand as well, we said, okay, we'll go first, because if anybody's getting arrested, we'll take the chance.
Yeah, you know, there's some people take a chance of not getting arrested. I'm like, bring it on. Come on, pick me. Ooh, I want to go. Because he called their bluff. A lot of times, you got to be prepared for them to call your bluff. You know, they're going to go, oh, you think that you, I'm going, that we won't. And I go, no, I think you will. No, we really, really arrest you. And I go, yeah, I really, really know. No, we really, really will. I go, okay, bring it on. Let's do it. Let's rock. And every time you start pressing that kind of, you know, pressure against them, a lot of times they back off. But yes, then they want to get you later, and they need to know who the leaders are.
Well, one of the things that we did for protection is, you know, I've known Sylvia Allen for a long time.
A legislator here.
Yes. I've known her since fire days. And she's someone that I consider a friend as well as my senator. So I contacted Sylvia and I said, Sylvia, we're going to have this parade anyway, and I would feel so much safer if you would come. And she said, wow, for one, but she said, I'll be there. And she was there. And I just knew, with Senator Sylvia Allen here with us, to stand with us, they're not going to arrest us. And on top
until
of that...
Until they do. I mean, you know.
On top of that, we had the best float in the whole parade. We ordered patriotic costumes for all of our grandkids. So you know those statues they're tearing down? Mm-hmm. We celebrate those statues. We had Ben Franklin. We had Lady Liberty. We had Betsy Ross. We had Abe Lincoln. We had Paul Revere. And a colonial Lady Emily as well. So a farmer and a rancher thrown in there to make sure we got
See,
it all covered.
You're a nail sticking up that's got to get hammered. That's why I'm here to help, because I know where the hammers are coming. So we need to, all right, we're going to talk about it more when we come back. Ah, this Kathy, she's one of them against they, them, those. We'll be right back.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, see? We get it.
Yeah.
I have a pirate's life for me. Hey, Bob, check the stream and see if the audio came. I might have bumped something and made it work. I don't know.
It sounded like it got a little louder.
Yeah, it did. Oh, there's, you know, this big giant rat's nest up there, we kind of organized and fixed and everything. Now we got to do this one. You know, I got to order some more. Because this whole trip has been, you know, making sure that, I mean, it's kind of interesting what we're trying to do here. Be able to be self-sufficient and be able to run audio-visual. And I tell you, the holdback is just internet coverage.
Right.
You know, that's, you
and
know.
And we have a challenge here in our little community with having some good internet coverage.
What do you know about Starlink?
I've heard a bit about it.
Here it comes. 150 up and down, man. Just out of, it'll be here probably within a couple of years. It's already, we have friends up in Washington State. They just got on the list of getting their goodies, and people are, it's a dish. You just put it, it's a bunch of cell towers, satellites that's just going whizzing by. Instead of you driving down the highway past a cell tower, it's the cell towers going by you. I mean, you know, it's not a big giant, you know, leap in technology here, but you have a dish that you just, no, you just point it to the sky, plug it in, turn it on, 150 megabyte up, down, and then it's going to get up to a gig. I mean, it's over. When you got the other half of the planet is now going to be able to communicate, and we find out what's going on here, unless they try and censor it, and we got other projects we're doing to keep it uncensored, I'm thinking they, them, those, they need to, they had to pull the trigger. They got to do it now. It is, man, they're going to lose. Well, what did they do? It was election fraud. You know, you know me. That was my whole thing. You know, I'm just going, yep, here we go. You know,
we saw it coming. We knew it was coming.
And I, you know, this is, I hate being, I told you so. So this is not going to be a political, you know, vote totals at the ballot box thing. It's going to be people resisting thing.
Right. And that's where the little
parades.
The parade, that situation. At that parade, well, actually before the parade, I stumbled across my grandmother's Liberty cards. She was born in Prescott in 1898, and she had these little card, a little card that she had signed. I think it may have come through the Daughters of the American Revolution, but it was so good that I recreated them, and we've been giving them away ever since.
Yeah, we're back. Let's go ahead and just blaze through the break.
We're close to 1,000 of them handed out now. Grandma's Liberty cards.
What liberty really means. Okay. Have you ever read the Bill of Rights, which is part of the Constitution of the United States? It's one of the most personal and precious things you'll ever have given to you. The Bill of Rights, which is your Bill of Rights as a citizen of the United States, gives to you and to every other man, woman, and child in this country, remember that, the following privileges. Freedom of worship, freedom. See, I'm, you know, privileges. I'm, you know, there's rights and, you know, okay, I get it. But I'm telling you, man, I'm gone way past this.
One of the things, though, that I like about this little card is in return, the Bill of Rights expects of you. This is what's missing in our country.
Yeah.
You know, self-reliance, self-discipline, integrity of heart and mind, courage, human sympathy, responsibility, reasonableness, interest in the public good, respect for the rights of others, tolerance, common sense, fair dealing. And then I added the little bit at the bottom. But other than that, it's an original card of what people were promoting, and they felt it was their obligation to teach others about their rights, about the Constitution.
Yeah, let's talk about the teaching. The I've seen a big, I don't know if they anticipated that. When I say they, who are they? I go, I don't know. There are those that just want to be left alone and those that won't leave me alone. There are they, them, those that won't leave me alone.
There you go.
You know, you conspirators, who are they? The ones that won't leave me alone. That's how you can tell who they are.
The ones that want more control all the time.
Yep. So I'm going, I don't know if they anticipated how much increase in homeschooling there was. They were like, we're going to shut down the schools. So, yeah, you'll beg us to bring them back and we'll babysit them for you or something. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
You know, maybe freaking not. So here in this community and small school district that you have here in the Heber Obergard area, what did you think of the schools? Were they okay? Were they...
Well, you know, as like I mentioned before, this little enclave of freedom. One of the reasons for that, by the way, I wanted to mention this. Every so often, someone comes up with this great idea. Let's get incorporated. And then the citizens of the community push back and say, no, let's not.
I think we'll decline.
Let's not. We don't have the all-powerful mayor that can come along and say, no groups of 50. You know, we don't have that all-powerful mayor that says, oh, close our schools. Our governance is more on a county level, which has helped. On top of that, people here, you know, they are involved in their school board. So when the school board came time to make a decision, do we open, do we close? Our schools have remained open for the most part. There have been some mandatory closure times, but for the most part, they have remained open. You know, I give you an example. Back in the summertime, everybody's supposed to be on lockdown. Well, in this little community, everybody's so much family that all the kids were playing together anyway through the whole summer. You know, so why shouldn't they go to school together? They've been playing together anyway. It's just
But they're killing grandma.
Well, they try that, but it doesn't actually work that way. And there's a lot of people here that really understand that. We've not been masking up. I mean, We are essential. We're all essential. So we just live life.
Oh my God!
And carry on.
The essential. This is a set. You go to some stores and they'll have, you know, Christmas paper, walled off. That's non-essential.
Well,
I'm going. Who decides that? I remember when they first did that essential thing. A friend of mine, we were doing the show, and he's there. He goes, "Well, what if I think a welding rod's essential to fix my boiler? It's cold. What the hell are they talking about? Essential? Who gets to decide that?"
Right.
But, you know, they got away with it in a lot of places. And how did they get away with it?
People just complied. They said, well.
Because they saw it on TV.
You know.
Because Facebook told them.
Well, I've always had a penchant for research. So I've always done my research and dug a little deeper in the whole COVID thing from the get-go. I was actually with my sweetheart at a water conference. Great place to be when they start doing lockdowns and canceling every single conference. I think it was practically one of the last actual, instead of a virtual conference, one of the actual real conferences held in the state. We were down in Tucson, and when the one of the speakers there stands up and says, you know, with what we do for a living, we've been sprayed with more COVID than you're going to get walking through an airport. Most of these guys have a plumbing background, and so they tend to understand the nature of germs and illnesses. They've had professional training in that. They understand it.
Yeah, build an immune system. That's what you need to do.
Right, but they've already been exposed to everything. They realize sanitation is what saves lives more so than vaccines. We get that. We get that on a really personal level as well.
What do you think the future? I mean, you've kind of been, you know, probably from activists in the community and how you look at it and so on. You and I have had overlaps quite a bit in our, you know, being butt heads. And I'm going, Kathy, where do you see the future? What's going to be the next 6 months?
Well, there's something that's been kind of in the back of my head that I've been thinking these last few days as Sidney Powell is talking about, we're getting to these cases to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And I remember in those early, early days right after the election, a little blip I saw probably on Free Republic or somewhere that wasn't exactly mainstream news, that President Trump was going to speak with the Supremes. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to be a fly on the wall there? And that thought has kept coming back to me this morning. I have a feeling that he went and explained to them exactly what was coming because he knows what's coming. He already knew what was going to happen. He's been telling us what was going to happen. So this is going to go before the Supreme Court. Now, whether they make the right decision or what kind of decision they make, that's going to also determine what happens for us in the next 6 months. But when it comes to vaccines, I want to say the push for mandatory vaccines is going to hit a brick wall. That is something that cuts across party lines. And I know this because I brought a little memory card to share this with you also. We lost our grandson in December 6, 2016, shortly after he had received his one and only vaccine.
Oh.
So I've dug down that hole as deep as you want to go and further. He was a 14-month-old, perfectly healthy little boy until he received that shot. But at the time that we had the second autopsy done, we found out that he had experienced a previous life-threatening experience, and the scar tissue that was left in his brain was visible to the expert pathologist that did this second autopsy. And he said that he had to have had something that happened to him that was life-threatening, and it had to have been at least more than 2 weeks previously because it took that long for that type of scar tissue to develop. But getting him to actually go on the record and say, yes, it's the vaccine, you know, they really don't want to do that on the record. They're really, they don't want to go on the record. They're scared for their career, everything. But the way that I got the most telling statement from this professional is after he'd done the examination of the baby's brain tissue. He had asked me if I wanted that sent back or if I should have them dispose of it as medical waste. I said, no, please send it back to me. And so when that box arrived, there was a letter with it. And in that letter, he stated, many times after a child has received a vaccination, we see situations like this, the same as with your grandson. But unfortunately, if people aren't willing to go to vaccine court, not much can be done.
Well, that vaccine court is a freaking near waste of time, too, you know.
And there was my little piece of evidence. There's finally the admitting, we see this all the time. It's basically saying, yes, we believe your grandson died of a vaccine injury. But I'll tell you another thing. Since that time, I've been involved with people who have lost their family members or been injured. And because of that, I have met plenty of families who've gone through the same experience. But we also have a network. So I've referred this same medical examiner, expert, pathologist to other families. He's then been able to look at their children's brain tissue, and he is serving as a professional witness for at least two families who are going to vaccine court that I know of.
You know, Dr. Judy Mikovits, we interview on a regular basis, and they're like, nope, she's not allowed anymore. We don't like it. We're not going to pay her. And she goes, I don't care. You know,
right.
I'll just keep doing it. And they go, nah, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. We don't want you there doing this either. And we have copies of her book, Plague of Corruption.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to give you one and maybe a couple others
that'd be awesome.
You can share with the right people on this stuff.
I would love to share those.
Yeah, no, this is the old, you got all in the vaccine too.
See, we've crossed paths in different ways over the years, and that is one of them I got taken off my forest game when we lost the baby.
Oh.
And then went down the whole vaccine path, and actually,
and you start to see how they overlap.
And actually, I have to go back before we lost the baby. I had kids that were trying to decide should they vaccinate or should they not,
right.
And the pressure they were getting was phenomenal. And one day, I was home, had pneumonia, and was in that pneumonia fog, and just reading down some news articles, and I happened to see one by Cheryl Atkinson. One reporter that I actually respect, and I've followed her for years. I know she's a truth teller. And it was about vaccines. And I saw that, and I thought, this is important. So I copied that link, and I sent it over to one of the kids that was really struggling. And later, he ended up telling me, thank you. Thank you for sending me that. That saved me. I was under such attack. And that helped me to understand I was doing the right thing by not vaccinating.
All right.
Well, at that point, he said, you were an answer to my prayers. At that point, I said, well, if I was an answer to someone's prayers, I better go back and reread that when I'm not in my pneumonia brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back and reread the piece that she had put together. And that really sent me down the path. And I had a friend on Free Republic who would feed me information. She would say, well, check out this meeting or just different little tips. Look up Dr. William Thompson, whistleblower from the CDC.
Yeah.
And so she would tell me just enough to get me to do my own research.
Yeah, he's a scumbag for waiting as long as he did to freaking tell people what he knew anyway, you know.
Well,
but
he only told, I think, because he came to find out that he'd been recorded in telling some of the facts.
So Dr.
then
Hooker, you know, had
yeah,
to, yeah.
So then he had to come forward. But, you know, that was a save-himself kind of moment.
Okay, hold on. We're coming back. We're yakking during the
Twitter
break.
Make sure you favorite the LRN.FM Twitter account so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, man, we were just blazing right through the break. And yep, for the archive. Everybody, and what we found out is that Kathy had a grandson died from vaccine injury.
Yes.
And loving memory, Larry Paul Boatman, angel baby. And she was talking about, or other children having kids and so on, and people that she's inspired to read different things, and all of a sudden now they're not vaccinating. and, you know, yay.
And they're comfortable in their decision because they've done their research.
They don't want you. You know, the biggest threat to human health is the vaccine-hesitant individuals that did their research. They're not allowed to do your research. They even say that. You shouldn't do your own research. What do you know? You're right. Researching on your own for your children. That's not allowed. You know, I got a white lab coat, and you should just do what the hell I tell you. You know, right. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. This mindset has so much impact on so many things, including shutdowns and government overreach and taking the land. And, I mean, on and on and on. Once people start to get out of that, and where does it start? You know, sometimes it's business owners in the, you know, the urban areas. But a lot of times, it's the people in the rural areas. And I'm going to ask you something that maybe you haven't thought of that I've just noticed in the last couple of years. The people that resist, they're rural, urban, whatever, I just ask a question. I go, when you were a kid, you know, through your, like, school, elementary, high school years and so on, did you grow up on municipal water or well water?
Well water. Definitely well water.
So tell me, you know, that is one thing I think everybody should be asking people. Oh, you're one of those independent kind of guys. Your brain didn't get soaked in whatever chemical is up.
There you go.
You know, what do you think?
Well, I would go back to when you grow up in a rural environment, you grow up more self-sufficient. You know, we lived really out in the country, so we couldn't just run to the store to get hamburger or anything. We always had a good stock of food on hand. We had our own well, our own water. We prepared our own food. We cut our own firewood. We heated our own house. Everything, you were self-sufficient. You took out your own garbage. But when you look at people in a city, for example, like in an apartment, everything, they're dependent on others for everything. Well, there's garbage service. There's water service. There's electric. There's cable, there's everything, and they get all of their resources are from up above versus in these rural environments where we're used to taking care of ourselves. You know, we
so it's a mindset.
It's a mindset. We're used to it. You usually take your own garbage to the dump rather than call for the dumpster.
Yeah, I'm wondering
to be picked
if it's
up.
Also a mental capacity. I mean, you know, if there's because this is one thing that's starting to come out. They go, oh, we got targeted, great, wonderful genetic vaccines. These are mRNA. These are RNA to insert. This was Dr. Judy has been going on for years. We've been interviewing like 5 years. And she was in the beginning, right. She's going, it's an RNA thing. Well, let me tell you, RNA doesn't just like DNA viruses. They'll go in and they use the energy of the cell to replicate and then they replicate. RNA goes into the nucleus and changes your DNA, and then you got a little factory machine of, you know, making viruses. Well, this came in from some animal stuff, from the Mises pieces and some other stuff. This was not normal, you know, for the human species. And all of a sudden now you're creating chimera. You know, you're not human anymore. You're changing at the genetic level. Well, then all of a sudden Bill Gates going, yeah. That works really good for turning you into what we want to turn you into.
Right. And you know, when I mentioned the friend of mine that would give me tips when I was just learning about vaccines and the different things to look up. Like, for example, when she told me to look up the whistleblower, Dr. Thompson, and I'm going, okay. I looked him up. He's real. He exists. You know, all of this is correct. When she first told me that vaccines contain aborted fetal tissue, you kind of go, no. And then you look into it and you go, wow, it actually does. And the things like that that you come to learn along the way, more and more people have learned those same things. And that's why I think this mandate for vaccines is going to fail. It's going to fall on its face because so many people have come along to understand and they go, nope, not doing that.
Yeah, they're trying to go at it on religious grounds, which is, you know, there's the reason why you don't do stuff like that. But I'm going, why would they do that? Why would? And then you check and you go, okay, so it's the lungs from females or young, you know, there's different ones selected, you know, which fetal cells that they're using and why they're doing that. Then you have all these, you know, everybody's transgender, femma, whatever the heck of doing soy boy of we can't, you know, in addition to the fact that we don't want to lift a gun, we can't. I mean, it's lay heavy, and I'm, you know, I got enough strength to hold this here, you know, gaming console remote. You know, I mean, there's something else going on. And the rural areas are why we've taken the love bus and got off of the big cities, off of the interstates. We're going to these small communities to help because they're the same mindset as you, which is why you're under attack. They need to eliminate this pioneer rebellious out in the hinterland of we did it ourselves, pioneer Arizona thing.
Right, but I think that it's actually becoming people that think like this who are, say, from the cities or the urban areas, they're gravitating this way. And we're seeing a huge, huge boom in our real estate markets in all these little rural communities.
I know, I see it, damn it. I'm out looking for, I'm going... What the hell? I thought it was going to go
that
down.
One. Oh, no, no. So I'm sure you've heard of the mayor of Eager and his proclamation this summer. If you haven't, goodness.
Oh, tell me everything.
Okay. So the mayor of Eager, right before Independence Day,
Arizona is kind of in the White Mountains. It's east side.
Further east
near
of
the
us.
New Mexico border.
Close
and
to
it's
New Mexico.
Kind of green. Might as well be Oregon. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know. In Arizona, man, you got ferns on the ground. It's like you're in Pacific Northwest. I mean, there's a wide range of terrain here. It's not just desert. So, okay, Eager is kind of a really beautiful, isolated community of a small whatever.
Yep. They've lost their logging industry over the years, so they've had fire over in that area that was devastating. You know, their fire actually was larger than Rodeo Chetiskay, which happened, you know, back in 2002. And so they've had a lot of different experiences similar to our experiences, but this mayor of Eager put out a proclamation, and the whole thing is worth reading, but he continued to say, when it comes to a mask mandate, we're not going to demand that, we're going to err on the side of freedom. He would say something else. When it comes to determining whether we would have our Independence Day celebration, we are going to err on the side of freedom. So his whole proclamation was about
remaining free. The question.
So if you haven't been to Eager yet, that might be one to put on your list.
All right.
But I've had people that from the community that came to my little farmer's market this summer, and one of them in particular was a council member, and we got started talking about that, and I told him how I loved his mayor's proclamation. And he told me that since then, their real estate market has just gone through the roof, that people are specifically moving there because embrace freedom.
All right, here it goes. Here's how it works. Donna, you know, she's listening. Donna, try and see if you can get the mayor of Eager on the show tomorrow morning.
Oh, there you go. Eagar, I believe, is the correct spelling. It's spelled
Eager, Arizona, the mayor. Give it a call. Let's do it. You know, just, you know, send them the file, what we're doing today. You know, go down, you know, call Eager, say, we're going to bring the love bus. We're going to go down there. We're going to say what's up. You know, we'll be there in the morning. Let's do it. Let's do it.
There you go. You would definitely appreciate him. He's good. So
I'm just looking for an excuse to go to Eager because it's really nice.
There you go. Well, it'll be a little chilly over there right now, but it's still a very pretty place to be. And, you know, they went ahead with their Independence Day festivities, and they were huge. They were huge because they remained free.
You know, this is, that's why you've got to go down. And where is, you know, this is what we find out. We had someone on, you know, Ducey, the Governor Ducey. What the hell happened to him? Well, he came out of college working for Hensley Distributing, which was the company owned
there
by Cindy
go.
McCain. You know,
there
which
you
is
go.
Now going trading out with being all buds where we hate Trump and I get to be ambassador to the United Kingdom. Yeah, there's all kinds of funky stuff going on.
Oh, great.
Well, yeah, so.
Well, so she lost her spot, and I think maybe there was some cheating going on in that primary.
No!
Possibly.
No! Yes. Don't say it ain't so.
So I haven't even thrown it out to Sylvia, but I want to say, Sylvia, please run for governor.
You know, I'm not counting. I don't care. I'm not counting, you know, this is what, you know, my hammering of all my campaigns and stuff. I mean, you probably know more than most people up here, you know, the stuff that we do. But I'm like, I'm tired of waiting on somebody else. It is local. It is you. It is defiance of. We're not complying. Kiss my butt. We're showing up. But they try and wear you down. They'll take who they think is the leaders. They'll go. So that's why it has to be a leaderless thing. It's got to be
exactly. It's
an individual movement thing.
We're a community here. That it's not just me or my sweetheart or other people. It's the community itself. And, you know, this is why we have our announcements page, Heber Overgaard Announcements, Activities, and Action. And that's so that, say...
Is it just a web page or what?
It's just a Facebook thing for the present time, just
because
there's
still people
on there.
Oh, my God, it's a
Facebook
thing.
Well, there's still people on there, so we still use it a little bit until we have better options. But in the meantime, you know, I had a friend that wanted to have a Trump train right before the election. So... We put the word out in the community. Within one day's time, we got 50 people to show up, and we had a great Trump train all through town.
In Phoenix, my kids were involved. You know, I'm like, yeah, man, you're still voting, kind of. But they could, you know, they grew up all this active libertarian. They knew what was going on. They wanted to show some, you know, stick it to the man, you know, Trump thing, right? So it was the, I think it was the 101 that goes around the valley.
Right, right.
It was 90-something miles of trucks.
Oh, we saw
not
those.
A word in the media.
But it was out there for it in other places.
Yeah, I know people knew. It wasn't a secret, but you could see why they weren't doing it.
Exactly.
Because I was back east.
They don't
want to
cover that.
Yeah, no, I was. Where was I? I was up north somewhere, and I'm trying to look, you know, find a story to put on Freeman's Phoenix, and I'm going, really? Really? The most stuff I'm doing, you know, of course, it was coming from people that, you know, on their Facebook or some crap
right.
like that. But I'm just going, wow, really? Really? All right, we'll be back in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
That was the other thing.
And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yep. Yep, we're here, you know, talking to, you know, actual rubber meets the road freedom thing. Freedom. You know, this has been an interesting thing for me. Is that we get to just talk with the people that are on the front lines of this. And this has manifested over the years in so many different ways. I've seen this, through, we come up every year. You know, the Jackalope has been like 10 years. You know, you've heard of the Jackalope Freedom Festival there. It's kind of, you know, who are those freaking rainbow hippie people of what the heck is going on? You didn't know that was us. You know?
It's kind of funny because my parents' home is very near where that is, and I moved back home about 10 years ago, so I found out exactly what was going on with that, and I've had, you know, so I've known about it over the years, and this summer we had a lot of the people from the Jackalopes came into our farmer's market, and would come there, and, you know, they love to get my mom's pies, not to mention fresh, locally grown vegetables.
Yeah, no, we made an effort to, you know, spread the love.
That's right. And we had people that stayed at our little tiny cabin that were attending your festival. One of them spent one night in the cold rain and decided, hey, wait a minute, what's this little cabin I see?
Right. Oh, those two little cabins that are up over there, those hunting cabins?
Yes,
things?
Yes.
Ah, those are yours.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So, put a lot of history in there with the documents. See, my grandfather bought our ranch in 1934. So we've been in this community for a very, very long time. And that's why we've got different ways we're tied in, both the farmer's market and, you know, involved in the water system.
Okay, I got to tell you this story about this year. We have, you know, an older couple. They're probably, I don't know, late 60s or something, but they're part of the Ron Paul Evolution thing. Well, they've gone to, you know, several of the early Jackalopes. Well, they missed a couple of years, and they got a place up in Chevron Canyon now, and they live in Fountain Hills also. Well, they went this year, and they're telling me this story. They go, we couldn't see where they, and we knew we were in the right place. You know, I think we went past it, and they saw a forest ranger. And they go, hey, Baca Meadow. And they go, yeah, it's right back there, you know, like a mile. And you just, you know, kind of, but I don't know if I go back there. There's some of these anti-government people back there and so on. But, you know, we haven't had any real problems with them over the years. But we've been told not to mess with them. We don't go back there. Leave it alone.
Oh, that's funny. That's
so great. They're going, oh, really? Okay, well, that's kind of what we're looking for. So this is... So their mindset back there, because every time they messed with us, we always recorded it. It's always right. Videotape. We had the shows we did about and all the stupid stuff that they would say or do. The second year they came in with SWAT team. They came all battle rattle and helicopter and kind of, you know, who's in charge? I don't know. I'm just camping. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. If you have nobody in charge, then everybody is.
Right. There
and
you go.
I thought I could go. Can I go camp? I was camping. And all we did, they wanted to know who put the porta potties in. Because we'd have like eight dozen porta potties back there. Because
a lot of people.
Yeah, you need porta potties. And, well, who did that? Jack. Elope. And I don't know Jack, so, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, who paid for it? Man, it was done with crypto. With the guy, they just deliver them. They don't know what the hell is going on. I don't care. You know, and that was the only infrastructure that we had there. So it was just, so nobody was in charge. Right. But, you know, of course, they go to Freedom's Phoenix and they call. I go, hey, man, I'm just a journalist. I'm just, I don't know what you're talking about. And there was another girl. Her name's Alma Summer. She's really pushing it. Little bit too many websites and pages and kind of gets a little bit too organized. As soon as it gets too organized, we're seeing how long we can go with it being totally unorganized. Because when things start to get big, you know, people want to make money, or you get some hangers-on, or somebody stays too long, or it's always a thing, you know, it turns
right.
So we're amazed that it's gone 10 years.
Right.
I didn't anticipate it going this long. But, you know, a lot of the people, June's Cafe freaking made out bank from it. Because
right.
Once we found out she wasn't mandating masks, we're like, woohoo, man, we're going.
Well, that's the way, this summer when I found out they weren't mandating masks, then I'm like, there we go, we're going to June's for lunch. And so we did.
Yeah,
as
I'm
much
getting
kind of
hungry, too, man. Yeah, Bob, you kind of getting hungry there? I think we're going to get something. And this, we weren't hungry for like all that. We had a big ass burger lad. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to eat for a week. And now I'm getting kind of hungry. So,
well, they take good care of you, that's for sure.
It's awesome. It's just a little, you know, you probably seat, 30, 40 something. I mean, it's not that big.
It's a tiny little place.
But it's got good food and it's fresh and awesome.
Exactly.
It's a community thing. Now, this, when they try to incorporate, who's doing that? Who wants to make it a town, put you under the thumb or something?
Oh, it's been different people at different times, sometimes the chamber, people that were on the chamber at that time, you know, various times they just come up with these different ideas of why they would like to do it. You know, houses up here are on septic systems. We don't have sewer. And so that prevents anything like a Safeway or a Bash's or any of the bigger stores from coming in. So someone will think, well, you know, it'd really be nice if we had a real grocery store and more jobs and all of that. Well, okay.
More jobs, yeah.
But then you have to have that infrastructure. And the way that our town is, you know, there's valleys and there's hills, which is not friendly to septic or to sewer systems as far as the installation. Wow. They're very costly when you're dealing with situations like that. And so that ends up being a sticking point a lot of the time is we don't have the infrastructure, our community.
Good. It's called a septic system.
Exactly. We have a septic system. And, you know, people bring up, well, there's no hospital here. What if old people need to go to the hospital or something?
Old people should not come then. I mean, I don't know.
See, some people that I know that are pretty outspoken about it say, well, if you want a hospital, then move to Sholo or Payson. We don't have one here. If you want, more law enforcement than what we have. We already have quite a lot, really.
Yeah, really.
But if you want more, then move to those bigger cities.
You know, the thing is, if you did away with all of this regulation and license, whatever, I mean, what happened to where a community like this would incentivize, build a house, and have a freaking doctor with a, you know, his practice in the garage? You got, hell, do plastic surgery of amputation of freaking liver transplants. I don't care. You know, you now pay you with chickens. Crypto. We have on pirateswithoutborders.com, it's open ocean medicine. We have a Dr. Idris Barber, which is Arabic for scribe. You know, he's kind of represents the crew of the Precariar pirate ship and stuff, right? So that right there, that's exactly what we're describing, is a community like this that could have the freedom to take care of people. If you had the freedom without all the regulation and so on, man, you'd have world-class a kick butt. What do I got to do? Go to India to get stuff done for a fraction of the cost? You know, we got to do some dental stuff. We're down here. Donna's got, you know, one tooth, that kind of, you know, little bother, and I got cracked or whatever. I'm like, yeah, we got to go. Well, that's going to be, you know, $15,000 or whatever.
Right.
$1,100, you know, for everything, go down just south of Yuma across the border, and we go with a bunch of guys we know from Sun City. We got a caravan every week, go down there, woohoo! Had a friend, Barry Hess, that ran for governor.
Right, I remember him.
$50,000-something with the dental work he did for $9,000.
That's pretty good.
Boom! In a couple of days, boom! I go, really? I have a bunch of friends doing this. They're driving this out of communities and so on. You could be here. You could be the freaking healthcare center of the planet for senior citizens if they got out of the way.
Right.
I forget out of the way on everything.
Right. Well, I have to agree. You know, that is one thing that keeps us free here. We grow our own food. You know, I had a friend that had a milk cow for a while even. Had our own milk source. And when things got hairy there for a while, when the stores were looking like we're in a third world country, most of the people in this community were perfectly fine anyway because we're used to being prepared.
Okay, how Mormoned up is this community?
Very high population.
But I mean, you know what? Is it 50%, 80%? What do you think?
I would guesstimate probably 80% or better.
Yeah, no, the Mormon community is what has kept Arizona freer than most places.
Right.
And because it's been, you know, the whole side of my mother's family, you know, my grandma, my aunts and uncles, and their 15 kids, you know, all,
right.
And we have land in Safford, you know, Thatcher area, Pima, because that, you know, like Mormon, my grandparents were, you know, the Mormon invasion in Lehi and Mesa kind of thing.
Right.
So, and my sister's Mormon. I mean, man, I got some Mormon up. And I tell you, it was all about the food, about the family, and about, you know, education your own damn kids. You know, so
right.
That's why we have really good homeschool legislation here.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So
they brought a lot to our state.
Yeah, I'm pro-Mormon, man. You know, just as long as you do that freedom thing, but don't in the name of Mormon try to rule me, Mr. Russell Pierce. I mean, you know,
right.
There's some bad guys in there doing their...
Well, there's always some of each.
So this is Arizona. Why is it always Arizona? I keep saying that all the time. I go around the country. I go, why is it always Arizona? And I don't know. They weren't on municipal water system. That was one thing. But it's what they're trying to get them on. So this is, you're going to see around the nation, there'll be hot spots. There'll be things going on. But you watch. It's going to be Arizona. I guarantee it. I can make sure with love. It's all about the love bus. TheBusLibertyTour.com. Kathy Gibson Boatman, thank you.
Thank you, sir.